Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Welcome to a very special edition of Life Quest Liberty. Sometimes in countries where religious freedom is the norm, people tend to forget that the freedom they take for granted is really a gift given by those who fight tirelessly to keep it alive and growing. We can attend the church of our choice or not attend at all. We can worship, support, nurture, and even evangelize our beliefs without fear of retribution or governmental incursion. If only all people everywhere enjoyed such a valuable gift. Each year, Liberty Magazine, in partnership with the International Religious Liberty Association, the North American Religious Liberty Association, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, holds a Religious Liberty Dinner for invited guests in Washington, D.C. It's an evening filled with awards, speeches, and camaraderie, all with one goal in mind: to honor those who provide and uphold that gift. One such evening, not too long ago, included a guest who, as you will hear, lives and breathes religious liberty. Samuel Erickson is a man on a mission, and his hard work and dedication is reaping rich rewards, not in dollars and cents, but in hearts and minds. Let's listen as John Gratz, Secretary General of the International Religious Liberty Association, introduces the man of the hour.
In my travel around the world, I meet a number of lawyers who are members of Advocates International, and when I ask them, "Do you know Sam Erickson?" their eyes light up and they answer, of course we know him. He is a great source of inspiration." Sam, you founded Advocates International in 1991. As a global network of lawyers, judges, national leaders, and today, Advocates International's global network links 30,000 law professionals in 700 cities and 150 nations on six continents. What achievement it is. Sam, you and your wife, Bobby, you have given your time and your resources for this great cause of religious freedom. Your commitment to the defense of the principles of religious freedom around the world has been widely recognized. Part of the mission statement of Advocates International is, and I read, "Encouraging, enabling advocates to link globally to promote justice, rule of law, religious freedom, reconciliation, and integrity." Sam, you have committed yourself to be an advocate for the poor, vulnerable, and oppressed. Dear Sam, on behalf of the International Religious Liberty Association, on behalf of Liberty Magazine, I am very proud to offer you the International Religious Award 2010.
Thank you, John. Honored guests, when I told Bobby a while back that we were receiving this award, I told her this is as close as we'll ever get to the Oscars. I was told I had a certain amount of time, so I've got my wife's kitchen timer here. I want to thank you for this recognition, but tonight it's not about me. It's about others. And tonight, in a few minutes, I want to talk to you about seven people who changed their countries and the world. They're all lawyers. And the International Religious Liberty Association is a unique group. It's unique globally. It is the only group that I know of globally that is interfaith as well as interdenominational. And their reputation around the world is second to none. The reason I'm here tonight is not because of what I've accomplished, but because of what others have done in this country and around the globe. And I want to just talk about them. Now, when I speak, most of the time I use an acrostic. That's the way I can remember what I said. And tonight, my talk is what liberty means to me. L-I-B-E-R-T-Y. L, love the Lord your God with all your heart, that's your emotions, all your soul, that's your will, all your mind, that's your creativity, and all your strength, that's your resources, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said those are the two great commandments, and that is what the law hangs on. My mentor is Lynn Buzzard. He was the first executive director of Christian Legal Society for 15 years. He was our board chairman for 10 years. He's a founder of a law school in Korea. He's been a law professor for 25 years, written over 20 books. And he spoke at our conference here a little over a year ago with 1,000 Christian lawyers from 106 countries. And he said this, live your life in such a way that it would make no sense if God did not exist. Live your life in such a way that it would make no sense if God did not exist. My life makes no sense but for the existence of God. And I want to show you how loving God is demonstrated in practice. On November 1, 1990, and the reason I picked dates is because all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be, Psalm 139, 16. Life is a story. I have signed my letters for 25 years living in his story because life is story. If life is story, there is an author to the story. There's theme to the story. There's drama, adventure, mystery, suspense, and there's always another page. That's the story. November 1, 1990, I was having breakfast with Lynn at a conference in North Carolina, and we were talking about all the changes in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. Wouldn't it be great to go to Moscow? I'd never been to Moscow. That was Saturday. Monday morning, I get a phone call from a total stranger, a professor in New York City, asking if I would come up to New York City to meet with four members of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, because they were trying to get the Ten Commandments into the Soviet school system, because they realized when they rip religion and faith, as you shared, you rip religion and faith out of the schools, and the gulag will wait. It will be there eventually. And these four scientists met with Lynn and I, and within less than a week after the desire of our heart was to go to Moscow, we were invited as the guests of the Soviet Academy of Sciences. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So that's L, love God. And as we heard, the Declaration of Independence says that it is the Creator who has endowed us with certain rights, inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I, in liberty, initiative. On Friday, January 24th, 1991, on my first visit to Moscow, I said to a colleague who was with me that I hope I meet a Christian lawyer before I go home. At that time, I was head of the Christian Legal Society, a group of about 4,000 Christian lawyers and judges. Well, this is the Soviet Union. To be a lawyer, you had to be a member of the Communist Party. You had to be a Marxist. You had to be an atheist. And I'm sitting there wishing that I would meet a Christian lawyer in Moscow. An hour later, I met Natalia Vysotskaya at a meeting with the Russian bar president. And she told me, she introduced herself as saying, I'm a lawyer and I'm Russian Orthodox. My friend says, you got your wish. I went to lunch with Natalia and said, why are you here? And she said, well, a few days ago, I filed papers to start a new ministry for Russian inmates called Faith, Hope, and Love Foundation for legal aid for inmates. And I mentioned that my priest is on our board and a member of the Soviet Academy of Sciences. One of your hosts was standing next to me. He turns to me and said, do you go to church? Yes. Are you a lawyer? Yes. Would you like to meet four lawyers from America who go to church? And that's how I met Natalia. Then she told me about her dream. Legal aid for Russian inmates. Bibles for Russian inmates. And I said, isn't this dangerous? You're taking on the Soviet Union. And she said to me, the worst they can do, Sam, is kill me. Now, that's commitment. Now, Natalia, I was her first donor. We've supported her for 19 years. Natalia, one woman with a handful of volunteers and a few lawyers in a shoebox office has responded to 23,000 letters from inmates, filed 3,000 appeals, derailed the death penalty in her country, passed out 10,000 Bibles, and started 12 chapels. Can one woman impact a country? Absolutely. That's Natalia. Initiative. By the way, the initiative here, on June 2nd, 1982, this is off This is off script, so it doesn't count against my time here. Five of us presented a letter, a memo, to Senator Mark Hatfield on June 2, 1982, as an answer to the school prayer controversy. It was called the Equal Access Act. It was a hard-fought battle for 2 years. We had the Washington Post against us, the New York Times against us, the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, the NEA, all against us. But on the U.S. Senate, 88 to 11, 337 to 77 in the House, President Reagan signed it on August 11, 1984. U.S. Supreme Court upheld it 8 to 1, June 4, 1980, 1990. 10 million students in America have had Bible clubs since 1984 as a result of a one-page law with a one-sentence operative sentence. So there are ways, and the Seventh Adventist lawyers were involved in that effort back in 1982 to 84. That's off copy. But initiative, there are ways to impact the law through Congress. They've done it in the past. Now, B, in liberty, be available. After going to Moscow, I was changed. We have it all here compared to what I saw in the Soviet Union. So I left the Christian Legal Society. This was not a good time to leave the Christian Legal Society because I had one daughter about to start college, another son about to start college, and I'd invited Natalia's son, Nikki, to come to the U.S. to put him through college. So I had three college kids. This is not a good time to quit your job. But I'd been so moved by meeting Natalia that I thought someone needs to try to find other Natalias. I was sitting behind an empty desk, and the phone rings. A friend in Seattle, Roger Sherrard. And he said, Sam, I got an invitation to go to Sofia, Bulgaria, but I can't go. Can you go to Sofia, Bulgaria, meet the dean of the law school? He wants to meet a Christian lawyer to discuss ethics. And I said to him, Roger, Sofia, Bulgaria, who wants to go to Sofia? Why not Paris or Bermuda or the Bahamas? And I said, I'll think it over. That was on Wednesday. The next day, I got a call from a total stranger in Pasadena, California. And he said, Mr. Erickson, I'm a Bulgarian. Can you go to Sofia, Bulgaria, and meet the president of the Bar Association? He's Bulgarian Orthodox. He wants to meet a Christian lawyer to discuss ethics. And I said to him, Mr. Popoff, until yesterday, I'd never been invited to Bulgaria. Now I've got two invitations back to back. And as we talked further, listen to this, folks, as we talked further, we discovered that 40 years earlier, his mother and my father worked in the same office in Stockholm, Sweden. You connect those dots. See, that's why life is story. There's drama. There's adventure. That's my God. That's why we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all our strength, and all of our mind. And so I went to Bulgaria with Roger. And on my eighth visit, I met a lawyer named Lacho Popov. Lacho was 40. He was trying to figure out what it means to be a Christian lawyer. And Lacho, I said to Lacho, start mentoring, discipling young lawyers in your country. Today, he has 220 lawyers. One of the largest active groups in all of Europe, Christian lawyer groups, is in Bulgaria. I spoke to the leader of the Evangelical Alliance in Bulgaria recently, and I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is hell, 10 is heaven. How is Bulgaria in terms of religious freedom? He says, at 9.5, it's not quite heaven. One lawyer, Lacho, has done more in that country to impact religious freedom than any lawyer that I know in all of Europe. Lacho, be available. Move on to E, enthusiasm. If you're going to do liberty, you have to have enthusiasm. The word enthuse comes from the Greek entheos, God in you or God through you. The greatest compliment you can pay me is to say, Sam, I like your enthusiasm, because without even knowing it, you're saying that God is working through you. Is there any greater compliment? No, there is no greater compliment. Roger and I went to Bulgaria twice, from the lawyer from Seattle. On March 24, 1992, he calls me up and says, Sam, I got two faxes today. I got to read them to you. I said, okay. The first fax is from a friend in Vienna, Austria. It says this, I hear that you and Sam Erickson have been to Bulgaria twice. Could you please go to Tirana, Albania, meet the Minister of Justice and discuss ethics? And I said, okay, interesting. Yeah, Sam, but 10 minutes before this fax, listen to this other one that came from Hawaii. Dear Mr. Sherrard, we hear that you and Sam Erickson have been to Bulgaria twice. Could you please go to Tirana, Albania, and meet the Minister of Justice for such a time as this? And Roger says, Sam, what do we do? And I said, Roger, my dear brother, when you get two faxes within 10 minutes from 12,000 miles apart, inviting you to a country you never thought of visiting, a city you couldn't name, to meet a guy you don't know, you don't need a third fax. I've been to Albania 21 times. Roger, next month, will go for his 40th visit. In 1967, Enver Hoxha declared atheism to be the official religion of Albania. If you had a Bible or a cross or a crucifix, you'd go to prison for 10 years until he passed away in 1984. Today, Enver Hoxha's formal residence is Grace Church of Tirana, and it holds the first evangelical seminary in the history of Albania, and that's because Roger and others have worked with lawyers and members of parliament and others for the last 18 years. Albania was the North Korea of Europe for 40 years. Today, there's more religious freedom in Albania than there is in some areas of the United States. That's enthusiasm. Finally, R, recruit others. We have an office of two lawyers and two secretaries. What can two lawyers and two secretaries do? Everything, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing in this universe that I cannot accomplish if God gives me physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, relational strength. But we have to do it through others. Advocates International, the way we work is we took Jesus' last statement to his disciples in Acts 1:8. You will receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he ascended. We've taken those last words and we put legs to them. L-O-R-D is the acrostic. L, local meetings in 700 cities and towns and law schools. That's the Jerusalem. Judea, that's organized nationally. 110 national groups that didn't exist 19 years ago are now in existence. That's Judea. Our regional networks. Every continent has a regional network. Advocates Africa, 40 countries. Europe, 40 countries. Asia, 35 countries. Latin America, every single country is networked into Advocates Latin America, Advocates North America, and Advocates Oceania. 153 countries through six regional networks. If I drop dead tomorrow, all of it will continue because they're not looking to me for counsel or for advice. They have their own governance. That's to recruit others, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do everything that I taught you, including the Good Samaritan parable and the Golden Rule. That's recruit others. And then T, time, talent, and treasure. In Luke 14:33, Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship, and he makes this incredible statement. No one can be my disciple unless he gives up everything he owns. Oh, I thought it was 10%. No. Salvation is free, but discipleship is 100% with Jesus. It's not part-time. It's full-time. We have here tonight a friend. He's received the Queen's Order of the British Empire a few years ago. He was a lawyer on a little island, Island Guernsey, in the English Channel. For the last 19 years, he's chaired the Religious Liberty Commission of the World Evangelical Alliance. He's chairing our board. His name is John Longley. John and I, on August 26, 1997, were in Beijing. We were guests of Mr. Yi, the Secretary General of the Religious Affairs Bureau. 6 weeks earlier, Mr. Yi and seven of his colleagues came to Washington, and I got a call from the State Department asking if I wanted to meet with Mr. Yi. And since he was head of the Religious Affairs Bureau, I said, well, does Cal Ripken want to play in tonight's ball game? Of course I want to meet him. And so I hosted Mr. Yi, drove him around Washington. We talked about the Golden Rule for 15 hours. By the end of the evening, I was Uncle Sam. And see, he was proud of being an atheist, so I referred to him as, oh, ye of little faith. He invited me to Beijing. On August 26, 1997, John and I had lunch with Mr. Yi and seven of his members in the Great Hall of the People overlooking Tiananmen Square. After the lunch, I said, Mr. Yi, if the 10 of us here wanted to have a Bible study, assume we're all Chinese citizens, no foreigners involved. If we're all Chinese citizens, could we have a Bible study right here in the Great Hall of People? He says, of course. I says, that's great news, sir, because that's not the way we see things in America or in Europe. Let me ask you this, Mr. Yi. If the 10 of us wanted to have a Bible study in my apartment here in China, assume we're all Chinese citizens, no foreigners allowed. Could we have a Bible study in my apartment every Wednesday night? Now they talked about numbers, because you hear a lot about house churches. A house church is an unregistered church. A house church in China may have 10,000 members. It's not a home Bible study. I was going for a home Bible study because in Acts 2 it says they went from house to house, not from church building to church building. And so he says, yes, you can do that. I said, that's great news. Would you give that to me in writing? And he says, of course. Would you give it to me in Chinese and English? He says, of course. Then he said, would you like to have it on China State Council stationery? That's White House stationery. Of course. October 16, 1997, he sends me a fax, and you can check this out. If you go to China State Council, October 16, 1997, you will see a 14-page document, a white paper on religious liberty in China. It's a lot of propaganda. Every government puts out propaganda. But there's one sentence in there that says, there is no registration required for Chinese Christians to study the Bible and have prayer in their homes with friends and family. John and I, after that luncheon, said, if the only thing we accomplished in our lifetime was that one sentence, our lives were worth living. That is time, talent, and treasure. And that brings me to the why. See, loving God, initiative, being available, enthusiasm, recruiting others, time, talent, and treasure. But it's your decision. That's the why. It's your decision whether to love God. It's your decision whether to take the initiative. It's your decision whether to be available. It's your decision to demonstrate enthusiasm. It's your decision to recruit others. It's your decision to invest your time, talent, and treasure. There's one person I need to recognize. That's my wife. Because without Bobby, who has had a home-based business for 30 years, who taught 1,500 people how to bake bread in her kitchen. There was a woman who once said, when I get to the White House, I'm not going to bake cookies. Well, my wife has taught 1,500 people how to bake bread and how to be healthy. And it's her funds that made Advocates International possible. Without those funds and what she did in that kitchen, there would be no Advocates International. And she's the person to be recognized. I'm wearing this tie. I've already had some comments about my tie. I bought this tie in Beijing, China in 1998. It's the only one like it. It's rather interesting. There are fish going this direction. Green fish are greedy fish. Purple fish are frustrated, and blue ones are depressed. And they're all going, and all their eyes are red. Too much something to drink, perhaps. And then you have this little goldfish, if you can see it. Goldfish is going against the current, and he's got a sparkle in his eye. And when I've used this on five continents, I always ask this question. What kind of fish are you? Are you one of these that goes against the current? Or down here you have a fish, he's half in and half out. He can't figure out where he belongs. He goes to church, but you'd never know it on Tuesday. But at least he's better than this one, because he's sort of an undercover believer. My question, ladies and gentlemen, is what kind of believer are you? Are you the one that goes against the current? Are you a Natalia, a Lynn Buzzard, a Lacho, a John Longley? Or are you just sort of one that we'll just wait and hope things work out? You know, I can do and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for this honor. I take it on behalf of the Natalias and the Lynns and the Lachos and the Johns.
Samuel Erickson speaking at the Religious Liberty Dinner in Washington, D.C. Such an inspiration. And his words should also serve as a motivation to us all to get involved in keeping the flame of religious freedom burning bright in our corner of the world. Jimmy Carter, the 39th U.S. president, addressing an assembly in Wilson, North Carolina in 1978, said, quote, "Our nation is one of great strength. God has blessed us in many ways with a form of government now more than 200 years old, when individual human beings, no matter how different they might be from one another, could stand and speak as they chose, develop those qualities of individuality and difference that, put together, give us a strong America," end quote. And I might add that such an atmosphere of acceptance would create a strong global community as well. Liberty Magazine exists to help create that community by providing insightful articles and practical guidance for anyone wishing to enhance his or her understanding of the subject of religious liberty. I'd like to personally invite you to check out the magazine's website, www.libertymagazine.org, is your source for news and information, where you'll also find articles from current and past issues of Liberty Magazine. You'll enjoy reading Lincoln Steed's editorials as well, my favorite part of each issue. You'll also learn how you can subscribe to the magazine for yourself, and also how you can partner with Liberty to get the magazine into the hands of community leaders in your area. Take a look, won't you? I'll repeat that address at the end of the program. Until next time, this is Charles Mills inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. You've been listening to Life Quest Liberty. To further explore the issues discussed on today's program, visit www.libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of religious freedom burning in your heart today.